Class is about to begin, not ending.
जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीचन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपीचन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनकीरावनचारी यमुनतीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीचन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
पड़े जो काचार्य शुभशत श्री भक्ति विधान स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जन्म शुभपात परम से पड़े जो काचार्य शुभशत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत श्री ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर नेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीना श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिवृंद की जय वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथ धाम की जय कलिग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटी All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nishtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 43. Suta Uvacha. Krishna Evam Bhagavati. Manovag drishti vritti bhi Atmani atmanam avishya So antashvasa uparamat Suta vacha Krishna evam bhagavati Manovag drishti vritti bhi Atmani Atmanam Avishya So Antashvasa Uparamat Suta Vacha Krishna Evam Bhagavati Manovag Drishti Vritti Bhi Atmani Atmanam Avishya So antashvasa uparama
Suta uvacha
Suta Uvacha,
I'll be reading word by word translation. Kindly repeat. Suta Uvacha. Suta Goswami said, Krishna, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Evam, only Bhagavati, unto him, Mana, with mind, Vak, speech, Drishti, sight, Vrittibhi, activities, Atmani, unto the super soul, Atmanam, the living being, Avesha, having merged in, Saha, he, Antashvasa, inhaling, Uparamad, became silent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Suta Goswami said, thus Bhishma Deva merged himself in the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight and actions. And thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Purport. The stage attained by Bhishma Deva while quitting his mortal body is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord and his mind into remembering his different activities. He chanted the glories of the Lord, and by his sight he began to see the Lord personally present before him. And thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection. And it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by practice of devotional service. The devotional service of the Lord consists of 9 principles of service activities, and they are hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, praying, executing the orders, fraternizing, and fully surrendering. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of the Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishma Deva at the end. The unique situation at Bhishma Deva's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Sri Bhishma Deva, who was one of the 8 Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life, but one who dies like Bhishma Deva attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is especially meant for dying like Bhishma Deva. Om Ajnana Timirandasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नाम्नि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायति कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण So welcome everyone to this Sunday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. And maybe the first Bhagavatam class, first Sunday after the official pandemic is over. I mean it is declared to be over, right? And you may be expecting Radhanath Maharaj to be here, right? But some other have been tricked and maybe you have to tolerate me. But hopefully he will be coming here soon and you can hear his nectarian words, his deep realizations. In fact, last 2 years when all this lockdown was going on, we are not able to see so many devotees. Sometimes devotees were talking to cameras, nobody was in front of them or in front of the mic only, and very few brahmacharis in the temple, and there was a kind of GBC resolution to pray for everyone, right? To pray for all the devotees, all the people in this material world, to be saved from this pandemic, corona pandemic. And we could see so many things happening within the last 2 years. Right. There were good things also, there were bad things also. So many of our devotees, senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they were like the pillars of the society, ISKCON society. They passed away. They were like great warriors to push forward this ISKCON movement. And even while pushing forward during this difficult time, they left us. So it's a great kind of loss for ISKCON society. But at the same time, we can see that how there were certain good things also. How devotees, they became connected, right? They realized the importance of Krishna consciousness, taking the process of Krishna consciousness seriously, right? Because the ultimate reality had come so closer, right? We are so close to that final examination without any preparation, right? We had not prepared for certain such kind of lockdown and closure of everything, and there was kind of a lot of mental anxiety and stress, right? And devotees were trying their best to help everyone, right? So many devotees in their various capacities, they with a lot of innovative ideas, they were trying to help each other. And even when it was about to begin, some of our Mataji's, flowers making Mataji's, they came up with a thought that during this lockdown, we may not get flowers for the deities. Deities every day get a lot of flowers, flower garlands, and their services may get affected. So they came up with the thought that let us have kind of artificial flower garlands, but they were so looking good that devotees were thinking that there are real flower garlands. And some of the Matajis, they came to temple and stayed in the temple for months and months, cooking for the Lord since morning till evening. They had so many family responsibilities and anxieties at home, but they sacrificed everything so that the service of the Lord continues. And there was never a day, single day, when these services were not offered. Some flowers, whatever were there, they were making some garlands and making offerings, and some Matajis cooking since morning till evening. And some of our pujaris, pujari warriors, they were also taking risk and continuing their services, having so many protocols of deity worship ministry, right? Not blowing the conch shell, not distributing tulsi leaves, charanamrut, so many restrictions, so many details we had to go in to avoid the bigger pandemic for our own safety and safety of everyone, right? Because even one person becomes a little bit careless, it can affect others. That kind of danger was there. And we can see that that virus was so small. Nobody could see that virus, isn't it? Sometimes they make a picture of that virus. In fact, when I saw that picture, I felt like it is like a kadamba flower. I was reminded of kadamba flower, because we are so used to kadamba flower. We never had seen such kind of deadly viruses which can take away our lives. Kadamba flower gives us the life, a real life, eternal life. It reminds one of Krishna, of Vrindavan. But this small virus, which was so scary, even the big people, strong people, Wealthy people had so much fear because of one virus. Right? And why was that? Because this virus was, although very small, insignificant, it can be crushed easily and die. But when that virus takes a strategic position in our body, then it is difficult. So therefore it is explained that when the enemy takes a strategic position, then it is very difficult to fight. Although there may be big number with us, but enemy may be small, but it has taken a very strategic position. It is sitting at some place where nobody can attack. And it has most powerful at that stage. So when we allow any enemies to take strategic positions, then we are vulnerable. So therefore there were so many rules, regulations, so many kind of protocols. Even the government had taken so many precautions to avoid this bigger calamity. And everyone was so alert, accepted the austerity of lockdown, closure in the home for so many days and weeks and months. Lockdown was continuing one after another, months after months. But still, they accepted, because they knew that if we become little inattentive, then it can become very difficult. And we had seen that when there was little inattentiveness, then the enemy took advantage, right? So similarly, when we allow the enemy, it can be in the form of so many anarthas, or it can be the other country. Now still there are fears of war. War is already going on. So why this is happening? Because our acharya has explained that the real pandemic of this mortal world is not yet over. We need to realize, they remind us of the real pandemic of this mortal world. And what is that pandemic? Birth, death, old age, disease and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So Lord Krishna has explained this kind of, he has given us awareness that this is a real problem. And we should really think about it. How to overcome this? What is the process by which we don't have to take birth again in this mortal world? So therefore when during this pandemic so many devotees, they were connected, united in spirit. Our doctor warriors, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they extended their services so much, right? They were putting their lives in danger to save the lives of others, right? We saw how much they had extra overtime, day and night. They were thinking about it, how to help patients. They were guiding devotees, online counseling, so many online seminars were going on, precautions to be followed. And so much effort was going on. Then we had so many of our book distribution warriors. They thought about, if we cannot go for book distribution, we'll distribute books online. And they came up with so many thoughts, connecting people online, and they were distributing books because physically they cannot go and distribute books. service was getting affected, but service must go on, right? Then there were some kirtan warriors. Some of our devotees were asked to do kirtan. They used to sit in the temple, or they used to sing for the Lord and for the well-being of everyone. Then we had our media warriors. They were coming up with so many ideas of creating videos, and so that devotees don't feel disconnected. They always get some spiritual nourishment, right? Then we had our Hare Krishna TV warriors. They came up with so many ideas, having children's competition, online content generation. They had really extra time, actually. I mean, I can understand how much they must have put extra hours of services, thinking and improving, connecting with so many people. So in this way we can see that, and there may be many, many such warriors. We have our children warriors, small children. They came up with idea of kirtan, bal kirtan. I mean, small children I had never seen singing such wonderful kirtans during this Krishna fest. That time, that was their talent was manifested. And so many devotees from various parts of the world were trying to connect to our temple, Shishirada Gopinan temple, online festivals, and of course His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who was also at one place at his home, but he was feeling so disconnected, and he was extending himself, coming online whenever needed, so many festivals, different times of the hour, and not only connecting with only our temple, but because of his global responsibilities, he was connecting with ISKCON global leaders, other, so many requests which were coming, trying to extend himself, giving the message of compassion, how it is important during this time of crisis that we become united. United we stand, divided we fall, right? Srila Prabhupada reminds us so many times. So there were some good things about this pandemic. It helped to devotees to become united. And when we realize the higher dimension of the problems of this material world, we should know that there is always pandemic in this material world. And we should always try to remain united, because the effect of Kali Yuga is increasing so much. Kali Yuga's policy is to divide and rule, right? That is the policy of Kali Yuga. It is dividing people, it is dividing nations, it is dividing families, it is dividing temples. It is creating a division within us. So what is the solution? How to counteract? How to rise above? What is the message? Srimad Bhagavatam is that message. Because after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, this Srimad Bhagavatam appeared as a son. Krishna Sudhama Pogate Dharma Jnana Adivis Kalo Nashta Drushamesha Purana Arko Devitas. This Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared like sun, and which dissipates the darkness of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga spreads. It is an age of darkness, ignorance. It is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. At any least expected moment, will see that there are quarrels are happening. And this is the symptom of Kali Yuga. So therefore, in order to not get affected by such things, we need to go more deeper in Srimad Bhagavatam to understand what is the process, how we can not get affected by Kali Yuga, and how to face the ultimate reality in a proper way. So here in this story we can see that how Bhishma Dev, who was the grandfather of Pandavas, who was a very knowledgeable elderly person, how he left his mortal body and he perfected his life. We can see that how this story has been discussed for I think more than 2 months in this chapter. And many devotees have given their wonderful realizations, so many perspectives to understand this one incident. One incident of Bhishma Devappa's giving up his body. And it is very, very important for everyone. It is very relevant. Because sooner or later we are going to face that reality, whether we like it or not. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains that how to prepare for it, how to face that reality. Sometimes devotees feel that, oh, why should we discuss such kind of things? It's kind of depressing, right? Every time we talk about death and dying, giving up everything. But if we don't prepare, then we'll be more fearful, right? Just like somebody does not prepare for an exam, regular exams, our school exams or college exams, university exams, and so many discussions are happening also, pariksha pe charcha, right? So even the one exam, there is so much discussion happening. So that we don't get anxiety, stress. And if somebody is prepared, then what happens? Then he goes very boldly to face exam. Right? If someone who is not prepared, then there is so much fear. Right? So the one who person who prepares more for the exam, then he will not have any fear. So if we are preparing every day, we know that yes, this exam is going to come, and let me practice, let me remember, let me study properly, study the lessons, complete the course, then I don't have to fear. Then let death come, no problem, pandemic or no pandemic, let it come anytime. So there will not be any fear. Right? So therefore, it is very, very important that how we go more deep in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to understand this subject, and the devotees who have perfected their lives while facing this exam. Bhishma Dev was one of the 12 Mahajanas. Great personality. Mahajan is a great personality. Great devotees. So one may think that how he was a great Mahajana, and look at his condition. He was on the bed of arrows at the last moment. And he had to face such kind of death. Right? It was, we cannot imagine what he was going through. such a big devotee, Mahajana, and at the final moment he's on the bed of arrows, right? So why such kind of thing? Why so much pain and agony at this final moment? Right? So, of course, Krishna does not give such kind of death to everyone. He is a great personality. He can face such kind of things. And what was his consciousness? That also we'll see. Bhishma Deva, we see that his birth was not an ordinary birth, right? He was Ganga Putra, Devavrat. And one of the eight Vasus, his birth was divine. Was one of the Vasus, demigods. And when he was lying on that battlefield, it is explained that demigod has fallen from the sky. That was a kind of description that has come in the Bhagavatam. So Bhishma Deva, he was fighting on the side of Kauravas. He had to take that side because he was grandfather of both Pandavas and Kauravas. And he was very pious, he was very religious. Dharma, he was a follower of Dharma. Every aspect of life, there is some duty to be performed. And he was very, very conversant how to follow Dharma properly. He was very, very astute in following Dharma. And that was his longing, that to discuss Dharma with right-minded people. But we can see that throughout his life, what he had seen, diplomacy, conspiracy around happening, plotting against Pandavas. He was seeing that every day and day out. And he was very kind of painful. He was feeling very painful. He wanted to give good advice, but Duryodhana and Kauravas, they were not ready to listen. Because again, they were overcome with that kind of envy. And trying to usurp the property of Pandavas. Although it was legally they should get, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he should have legally got it. But there were not such kind of understanding. There was understanding that elder brother gets. But of course, Dhritarashtra had taken that throne and he wanted his son to take that position. And it is explained that Dhritarashtra was blind. Srila Prabhupada explains that he was blind physically and spiritually also. Because he was not able to see. But in fact he was able to see. He was able to see what, who is going to rule, who will be the king. And therefore he wanted to see that his children become the king, or they inherit the property. But of course he was spiritually blind, because he was not hearing properly. One's vision is not developed, spiritual vision, when one does not hear properly the message. And here also Srila Prabhupada is explaining the importance of hearing Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj is given 9 processes of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada explains that any one of these processes can help us to perfect our lives. So, therefore, Śrīla Prabhupāda explained that hearing Bhagavad Gita, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam regularly, daily is important. And one can die like Bhishma Deva. Śrīla Prabhupāda is giving assurance. If we keep hearing Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, whenever we have to face that, one will die like Bhishma Deva. And when this book was written, Śrīla Prabhupāda wrote this purpose before going to America. I think that clock has stopped. I was looking at the clock, but it has stopped somewhere in between. So I'm going to miss time. I was thinking that it is 9:10, but it is 9:30. So please give me somebody who can watch, and so that I don't miss, don't go over time. Yeah, if it is not a digital watch. Your clock is, I think, 10 minutes ahead. So, anyway, thank you. So, Śrīla Prabhupāda is giving us that assurance, that whenever it happens, we should be ready. And Bhishma Deva's example, we see that Bhishma Deva was, he was so conscious about following duty. It's okay, I got it. Thank you. It's okay. This is okay. So, we saw that he had to take the side of Kauravas, even his fighting during that battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was the commander-in-chief. Duryodhana appointed him as commander-in-chief. It's a big responsibility, right? You are like you have to lead so many people, armies, direct them which direction to go and all, and to become victorious, right? And at one time when he was not fighting to his full spirit, that time Duryodhana instigated him that you have to fight, you are not fighting, you are siding Pandavas. And that time we can see that how Bhishma Deva, he took it seriously. I mean, he said that tomorrow I will finish everyone, don't worry. And he entered the battlefield and he was fighting like anything. He was killing armies. He was like a hurricane. He was just killing everyone. And nobody could able to stop. Right? What was the power of Bhishma Dev? Bhishma Dev was disciple of Parshuram. Right? Parshuram, we know that he had killed Kshatriyas 21 times. 21 times killing Kshatriyas, and the whole earth was made bereft of Kshatriyas. That Parshuram, his guru, in fact, spiritual master, he was defeated by Bhishma Deva. So we can imagine what was the power of Bhishma. And it was not an ordinary killing, just one shoot one arrow and person dies. No. He was killing thousands of arrows at a time. And thousands of people were dying. They were screaming. There were horses dying. There were elephants were dying. There was huge chaos. The arrows were going all directions. It was very scary. I mean, we cannot imagine what kind of things were going on. And they had to fight from sunrise to sunset. No stopping in between. No taking a break. Kind of I'm going for drinking water or something. I'm very hungry or... No, and I'm just visualizing what their rath, the chariot must be. How they must be stalking all these arrows, and every time the arrow comes, whenever the pull arrow comes, how that technology, what kind of technology they had, we cannot imagine. And they were very giants, towering personalities. They had huge strength. They were not getting fatigued. And at the same time, they had to fight dharma yuddha. Bypassing the laws of fighting. It is not that just go and drop a bomb and all the innocent people are killed. Right? They have to fight with the right competent person. If somebody is not on the chariot, they should not fight. They should be equal. Opponent should be also equal. So that kind of codes they had to follow, codes of fighting they had to follow. And it was going on for so much time. That time they realized that he's not going to stop it. And of course we know that how Krishna had to intervene. He took that veil. Krishna's patience decreased. I mean, he realized that now I have to come in action. He had promised, right? He was not going to lift any weapon. But at this moment, he had to lift it. He had to break his promise. And we can see that Bhishma Dev, he made Krishna break his promise. Right? That is the power of Bhishma Dev. For Bhishma's pleasure, Krishna broke his promise. What kind of reciprocation was going on the battlefield? Krishna had promised that he will not he will not lift the wheel or the weapon. But he broke his promise to please his devotee. And Arjuna, he ran after him to stop him. Krishna, don't break your promise. Let us get defeated, no problem. But you don't break his promise. So Arjuna was running behind. And he saw, Bhishma saw that this kind of reciprocation was going on. He gave up his whatever astras and shastras and was ready to be killed, because Krishna is coming to kill him. That is the highest perfection of life he is going to achieve. He had Ichha Maran. He could die at his will. Whenever he wanted to die, he was going to die. And that was also kind of a news in the universe. It was a talk of the universe. Not talk of the town. Sometimes we say it is a talk of the town. But it was a talk of the universe. Demigods were discussing. They were curious about how he is going to die. He has Ichha Maran, right? So he is going to die when he has to leave this mortal body whenever he wants. But how is that going to happen? There was a huge curiosity amongst the higher beings also. And they were all curiously waiting. And at this, on this day when it was happening, Bhishmadeva was ready to die. But then of course, it was sunset and it stopped everything. And next day we knew that how there was fighting going on, and Bhishma, Arjuna, Krishna, Shikhandi and all. And finally, he accepted the defeat. And Arjuna shot so many arrows in the body of Bhishma that there was no body left inside. There were just arrows. There were just arrows. One arrow cannot get piercing between two arrows, right? So they're just bunch of arrows in his body. Only the head was there. And finally he fell down. But of course the fighting continued because still the war was not over. And Bhishma Deva, maybe they created kind of space where he is not disturbed, he remains there. And he was lying on those bed of arrows for so many days. The war was over, and still he was waiting for the right time, because the sun was not on the northern hemisphere. Sun was on the southern hemisphere. He knew, though, even he was conscious of the timings, astrology, some of our astronomy. Some of our devotees had gone more in deep, exact calculations, how this Bhishmashtami after Uttarayan, why didn't leave the body, why he waited for some extra days. They had a lot of astronomical understanding, deeper understanding. So how Bhishmadev, he chose that time to leave his body. He was very, at that time also, was very aware that this is not the right time. What is the right time of leaving the body? So Bhishmadeva's leaving the body is very, very significant and very, very relevant for all of us, everyone. And his kind of fighting or being a warrior, being a martial art warrior, and being a spiritual warrior was, because he exhibited these two kind of aspects of his personality. Sometimes you may think that he was a big warrior and very skillful in fighting. But what is a spiritual warrior? Devotee is also a warrior. He is also fighting. Srila Prabhupada explains that anybody who takes to Krishna consciousness has declared a war against material energy, Maya, Maya Shakti. Material energy is very difficult to overcome. Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya duratya. Mamayo ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So anybody who has accepted the path of devotion, now he doesn't want to have material desires or get materially affected. He wants to go back home, back to Godhead. For such a person, he has declared a war against material energy. And Bhishmadeva, we can see that his whole purpose was to achieve Krishna, to establish Dharma. He was not fighting to win the war so that Kauravas become victorious. His inner desire was to attain Krishna. He didn't want to remain in this material world. He knew that the final perfection of life is to go back to Krishna. That is the final perfection. And throughout his life, he was seeing so many obstacles on the path, right? At a gross level and a subtle level, of course, he was very connected. He was deeply rooted. And at sometimes, I think in one book, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains that even the, as a compassionate Vaishnava, Bhishmadeva was a very compassionate Vaishnava, he used to feel compassion, seeing the sufferings of Kunti Devi and Pandavas. He saw how they were suffering. Kunti Devi was suffering, Pandavas were suffering in the palace. They were staying in the palace, but still there was so much anxiety and fighting. It was not an easy life. Throughout their lives they were seeing all the life-threatening events, trying to kill them, Pandavas. So sometimes he would even break down, Bhishmadeva. seeing the difficulties, seeing the sufferings of Pandavas and Kunti. Paradukha dukhi. The real Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. So he had that kind of compassionate heart. He wanted to help everyone. But somehow there, in that palace, he was not able to openly discuss about dharma. And we see that how at this time when he is on the bed of arrows, and he had in fact suffered so many arrows throughout his life in the form of all these politics and conspiracies. He was already pierced with so many arrows, right? He was suffering within. Nobody could see that. But he was suffering because he was not able to give that message. He wanted to give the message of real dharma. And at this moment, when he is lying on the bed of arrows, Krishna, he understood. The battle was over. They went back. Yudhishthira Maharaj was made a king. And we know that how Ashwatthama tried to kill the sons of Draupadi. Draupadi forgave him. And then Kunti's prayers, all those events happen in between. And from that day, when he fell on the ground, Bhishma Dev, he was remembering Krishna. He knew that Krishna is going to come. And Krishna also knew. It is not that Krishna forgets. When the devotee is in suffering, Krishna also remembers that my devotee is in difficulty and I had need to fulfill his desire to be present in front of him. And Krishna, when Bhishma saw him last with that wheel in his hand and as Partha Sarathi driving the chariot of Arjuna with a whip in his hand and the reins of chariot, he had taken that vision in his heart because he wanted to meditate on that form of the Lord, how the Supreme Lord is fighting, or how he has accepted that position of Partha Sarathi as a chariot driver. And he was continuously meditating on that form. Krishna has wounds on his body because of the arrows of Bhishma. And sometimes others also. His hair was scattered and had become ashen because of the dust raised by the hooves of horses. So that form of Krishna he was meditating continuously. Rathanga Pani and Partha Sarathi. And finally he wanted to meditate on that form, Partha Sarathi, and go back, perfect his life. So since that day when he had fallen on the battlefield physically, he was meditating on that form. And it was almost like 56 or 58 days he was on that bed of arrows. And he was meditating. And Krishna came with Pandavas. He told all the Pandavas to dress very nicely. Now the fight is over. Now you dress very nicely with your royal clothes. And there was a big retinue. The chariots, the horses, and so many of them, they came with all the opulent dresses. And it is explained that even the horses were decorated with gold. That kind of opulence was there. India has talents, or India has got a lot of opulence. Richness of India cannot be understood actually. So, he was kind of in that situation, Bhishma, and Krishna brought everyone. And when they came, of course now Krishna was not having all the wounds on his body. He was kind of all the wounds that he healed, and he was again as a smiling Lord. It is explained that he was there in front of Bhishma Deva. And that interaction is very, very powerful. When all these sages, so many sages had come from different parts of the universe. They had come, Parashuram had come, Vasishtha had come, Kaushik, Narad Muni, Parvat Muni, Shukadev Goswami, Kakshivam, so many, this big list, which are very maybe selected, they have given, but there were many, many sages who had come. And they were all curious to know about what Bhishma Deva is going to speak when he is going to leave this material world. Although they were so conversant about various duties, religious duties, but they wanted to understand from Bhishma Pitama, who was a follower of dharma throughout his life, right? At every moment he was following dharma. It was not that just he may be misunderstood. Many times he took the side of Kauravas and he knew that he would be misunderstood. But to please the Supreme Lord, he took that side. So he, even at that position, when all the sages had come, he received them very nicely. Can you imagine? Receiving guests when you are not in a position. You are on a bed of arrows. Or even when you are sick, we sometimes feel, oh, why they have come? Right? Or sometimes even we are not sick, still we feel that why they have come, right? Untimely they come, atithi. They don't have any time to come and they waste my time so much. And no transformation happens. So, but he was, even at that moment, he was, it is addressed as he was dharma jnyo. He was very conversant about the duties of a religious person. Even at that time, what is the duty? How to receive these guests? Important, and they were not ordinary guests. Sometimes we receive sometimes big dignitaries, or there is so much of hospitality and facilities and so much arrangements have to be done so that everyone is received properly. So in various ways, political areas and everywhere we can see that. But he was alone and all the guests are coming. How he is going to receive? And only what was there was his head. Right? Head was only functioning. All body was completely gone. So many thousands of arrows were in his body that it was just arrows, there was no body. Medically a person cannot survive, right? We can ask any doctors, okay, in the hospital, can somebody survive after losing so much of blood? All the systems will fail, digestion system and breathing and all that is gone, right? But still, he was maintaining his head. So, it is not an ordinary thing. He is very, very special. He had that kind of power and determination to even maintain life in that situation. Because he had one more mission to complete. And that mission was to see Pandavas happy, to see the dharma is in the right hands. Right? He was very happy to see that now Yudhishthir Maharaj has become the king. And he is going to establish dharma. That was his desire, that Yudhishthir becomes king. Because he had observed Yudhishthir Maharaj since childhood, when Yudhishthir was his grandson. Can you imagine? The grandson is talking about dharma and having that potential to carry on the legacy. Grandfather becomes very happy, right? Even in the mortal world, we can see that if somebody is a good child or grandson, they are very well behaved and very obedient, cultured. It's a great joy to the heart. And Bhishma Pitama was having that kind of pleasure within his heart. He knew that there is a potential in Maharaj Yudhishthir. He is the right person. But because of the various complications, he was not able to give that empowerment to him. But at this time now, he saw that dharma is in the right hand. And it is explained that Bhishma is described as Sahasranim. Sahasranim means one who is conversant in thousands of sciences and arts. Sahasranim. Thousands of sciences. He was very conversant about science. Various types of dharmas and arts. He had fought thousands of battles. He had protected thousands of soldiers who were fighting on his side. He has given so much protection. He was very powerful. His desire was to delegate dharma to the right person, right successor. Dharma should be handed over, succession planning. Even in the material world, there is so much succession planning. We need to see that the business is in the right hand. Person who will manage the business or increase the business materially, we have a lot of kind of anxieties. Even the families, they want to see that their children don't fight. They maintain the business. But what is happening in Kali Yuga? Fights are happening, families are getting divided, right? Bhishmadeva's only desire was, he wanted to see that there is a proper person who carries on the legacy of dharma. And it is explained that success is success is not a success. Success without succession is a failure. If there is no proper succession, then whatever success we may have, it is a failure. So therefore, one has to have a proper succession who will carry on. The legacy has to carry on. Some next person has to take on the moment. And we can see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada also. Srila Prabhupada also, like Bhishma Pitama, he was a great warrior, he was a commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's army. He went alone to fight against material energy in the Western world, which is filled with impersonalism, voidism, atheism. There is no hope. And he was giving the message of Krishna consciousness. And this year is very significant, right? Because it is explained that this year, 100 years before, a century before, and this year, Srila Prabhupada met his eternal spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 1922, right? And his guru, spiritual master, he gave him a tall order, lifelong order. They take the message of Lord Chaitanya and preach in the Western countries. Right? And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was just offering obeisances. He had not just completed that formality. And he gets a tall order that you are a young, educated person, you take the message and preach in the Western world. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was not ready. Because he was kind of influenced by the freedom movement. We should get freedom, 1922. India was under the subjugation of British rule. And in the whole country, all the youths of the country, they were having that kind of slogans, Chale Jao, or non-violent, non-cooperation. We should get freedom first. That was the situation of our country. That was the situation of our country. And Srila Prabhupada is getting this order that you take the message and preach in the Western world. So it was very difficult for him to accept at that very moment. Because he thought that first we should get freedom, then we will do all the Krishna consciousness and spiritual activities. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, no, Krishna consciousness is an urgency. It cannot wait. It cannot wait. Sometimes this may be this party, that party. It will keep changing. But the real lives of the people, the consciousness of people has to change. One has to go more deeper. All these problems in the material world are happening because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Right? People become little Krishna conscious. So many problems will be solved. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he saw that this is a real pandemic. Lack of Krishna consciousness. People are affected by Western minds. They don't realize what is there in our country. What is the real wealth of India or culture, Vedic culture? We have to go deeper. We should not feel that, oh, somebody will see me chanting on the roads or wearing kanti mala or tilak. We should not feel any kind of fear. Because even Yamadutas don't disturb devotees, right? Somebody was telling stories of... So, one should not have any fear. And here when Bhishmadev was... had so many guests had come, he was receiving them, he was following even the duty of at this time how to receive guests, Atithi Dharma, he was following. And he was, just by his kind of eye movements or mind, he received everyone properly. And they also realized that, yes, he is welcoming us, he wants us to sit around him. And the discussion went on for a long time. I think 4 or 5 days or something they were discussing. So we can see that Bhishmadev, who is a person who was follower of dharma, he was dharmashil. His character was dharma. He knew the art of dharma, dharmajna. Maharaj Yudhishthir is Dharma Suta, he is son of Dharma. Dharma Raj sometimes is called a religion personified. He was also so conversant about the intricacies of Dharma. And Lord Krishna personally, Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Whatever Lord Krishna decides, that becomes dharma. So all these great personalities were discussing about dharma. So what a powerful discussion it must have been, right? Sometimes we get tired of too much philosophy, right? Some nectar, sometimes they want some nectar, stories or something. But they were discussing about where, because now Yudhishthir is going to rule kingdom. And he had to carry on the legacy, he has to become more conversant. And he was also not feeling any kind of pride or kind of thinking that I already knew a lot of things. I know a lot of things. I don't want to hear. He was not having that kind of attitude. In fact, whenever there is one opportunity to understand more, he was eager. And that is a sign of a great personalities. They want to upgrade their understanding at every moment, right? Srimad Bhagavatam is that kind of literature. When we hear from devotees, it will help our understanding, it will upgrade our understanding. Because how we think is important. How to remain at the higher level, even in thinking. Standard of living has increased. But has the standard of thinking increased? Standard of thinking is decreasing, right? That is the effect of Kali Yuga. So many gadgets have increased. Communication gadgets have increased. But communication skills have decreased, right? So much information is there. So much information has increased. But transformation has decreased, right? So many fast food corners have increased, but health has decreased. We have to fast from that food, right? Fast food, somebody was explaining that when you eat fast food, you have to fast from food. So many books have increased, but real education has decreased, right? Money power has increased, but charity has decreased. Right? So much defense has increased, but security has decreased. We feel still so much insecure. So much defensive mechanism is there, but still we feel insecure. Like that, there are so many things we understand, that so much material advancement has happened. But there is still kind of hollowness and shallowness in our consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada knew that this is because lack of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness of every living entity, every soul. Once that is revived, then one is really happy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, like Bhishma Pitama, he reigned in the Western world. And what was his weapon? What weapon he carried? He was carrying two weapons. One weapon was the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That was the weapon. Unflinching faith in the holy name. He had that unflinching faith in the holy name, that this holy name has power to change the hearts of people. I don't have any power. But if they chant some other chant this holy name, it will change the hearts of these people, because these people have become so hard-hearted. They got so much opulence. So many facilities are there. But they are so poor in their heart, right? There is no compassion, there is no kind of mercy towards other living beings, even the animals. It is decreasing more and more. So he had that weapon with him. And another weapon was his pain. Because pain is mightier than the soul, right? It is very powerful. It has become, that sentence has become very powerful. And he proved that, how the pain is mightier than the soul. Even his guru, spiritual bhakti, Siddhanta Sri Thakur Maharaj, he empowered him. He told, whatever he writes, you must publish. So he understood that there is a potential. Although he may be a grihastha devotee now, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur Maharaj saw the potential in Srila Prabhupada. He saw that, yeah, this person, this soul is going to make a difference. And he empowered him. Two times when he met, first meeting and another time when he met at Radhakund, on the banks of Radhakund. He gave him the instruction, if you ever get money, you print books, right? That was the instruction, and he was always meditating how to fulfill that desire. And before going to America, on that Jaladuta, he had just 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Just first canto of Bhagavatam was there. And after going there, then he struggled, so much struggle was there. But still he kept writing. One volume, another one. He was thinking that these are my weapons. Books are my weapons. These are time bombs, it is explained. And what these time bombs do? Not kind of kill people indiscriminately. But they kill the person with the material desires. Material desires get it. And the person gets a real life. He gets a real life of what is afterlife. What is there after this life. He gets that awareness. And in fact, that is a tremendous contribution when I try to realize or try to understand what is the greatest contribution Srila Prabhupada has given. He has fixed our goal. He has made us very focused. And what is your goal of life? People have so many different opinions. Right? And one focus which nobody can deny, and that is to perfect our life, go back home, back to God. Right? Everyone wants to go back home, back to garden. Right? Nobody wants to remain in this material world. How to go back home, back to garden? Srila Prabhupada has given us that focus, that whatever happens, so many changes may happen, but ultimately you should remember, these are temporary things. There will be disturbances here and there, but don't forget the goal. Sometimes you may get facilities, or sometimes you may not get facilities. But Krishna will protect you in all circumstances. And Krishna will help you. It is not that Krishna is very happy to see his devotees suffering. He wants to help each and every one of us. And whatever investment we do every day, he is noting down. There is no mistake. He is just counting the days when we come back to Him. Right? It depends upon us. When we want to, we also have Ichamaran kind of things. Not exactly. But we can decide whenever we want to take the process seriously. Whenever we want to die to our material life. Spiritually, if you see, then we also have material, as long as we have material desires, we will take material birth. Right? But the moment we decide that I don't want to take material birth again, I want to awaken, I want to realize, I want to take the process seriously. That is the death of material desires. And we know that how Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, in fact, he was on the final days, how he exemplified when he was given the notice. He had that cancer and terminal cancer. And it was sure that he's going to leave, and some parts of his body were getting deteriorated, legs had to be amputated. And, but still he was maintaining the life, and even during that time he was giving the message to everyone. And some of the reflections, some of the books he has written, even during those times, they give so much inspiration. And one sentence was, die before you die. Means one should die before you die. The regular death will take away our material body. That is a regular death. But when we die materially, our subtle body also will not be here in this material world. Otherwise, when we, as long as we are subtle body, we will come back again in this material world. But the real death is the death of false ego. When we give up our false ego, that is our real death. And that we can give up at any moment. Right? Sometimes ego becomes very stubborn. Some small things, and we become very staunch and try to prove our case. And we realize that we are actually losing. So therefore, when we hear, realize from the realized souls, what is this process? What is the process of perfecting life? If we don't want to come back again in this material world, then we need to really prepare for the death. So that we don't have, even at that time, we don't have material desires. Because as long as we have material desires, next birth again we'll get. And Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he exemplified that. He was slowly giving up everything. Even as a spiritual master, he had so many disciples, followers. But he was relinquishing all those subtle identities. He was trying to focus that he is only now part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. He is the servant of Srila Prabhupada. That was only his meditation. And at that moment, when he was on this in his final days, he requested, he is what in his book, Radhanath Maharaj, that you please write your book. Because so many years you have been just telling me the stories of your various ventures and how you came to Krishna consciousness, how you travel from countries to countries. You should write a book. You should not leave people in darkness. You have so much of knowledge, so much of realization, you should give that knowledge, you should share that to everyone. So, of course, he was reluctant because as a humble Vaishnava, nobody wants to glorify himself, right? He wants to give credit to others. And he had not thought about it. He would just sometimes he would tell certain stories. But when such request came, then he had to accept. And another request he made was that as long as I am there in this body, please don't leave me. That is a very difficult thing, right? Because sometimes you don't know what is happening, when that moment, which day, what time, you have to be always alert. So Maharaj was in Gita Nagari, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, and he wanted to leave his body there. He didn't want to come to Vrindavan and give up, because he was having that spirit of spiritual warrior. He wanted to die on battlefield. Just like Bhishma Pitamu, he died on battlefield. Srila Prabhupada, he also left his body while speaking about Bhagavatam and preaching the message of the Lord. Similarly, he also wanted to leave his body in Gita Nagari. And he requested His Holiness Radhananda Maharaj to be there. And he was there, I think, for 30-40 days. He was there. There was continuous kirtan. And finally, he left. Here in the kirtan and in the association of devotees. So such passing away is very glorious. Because they give us a lot of hope. Right? That when that final moment comes, we should be ready. So here also we can see that how Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj or the Bhishma Dev, he is leaving his body, and so many sages had come. Now he is finally kind of focused. He had relinquished all his subtle identities. Whatever had happened throughout his life, so many injustices, so many kind of wounds he was having on the grosser level and the subtle level. All that he had now erased. There was no ill feeling towards anybody. He had forgiven everyone. And he had prepared his mind. He had completely focused his mind on the Supreme Lord. And he was going to leave. And we can see that how this kind of preparation, even our Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Spiritual Care Department, they also help even ordinary people also to leave body in their proper consciousness. That's what I was hearing, that how they guide a person who is kind of having limited time or something. Sometimes people cry also because they had to forgive somebody. They have been holding these grudges for so many years. They are not able to let things go. But if you had to go smoothly, if you had to go peacefully, then finally you had to give up all this kind of negativity within the heart. So therefore, we should realize how the message is important. The Kali Yuga is progressing by leaps and bounds. It is not that after Kali Yuga, after pandemic, Kali Yuga is going to take some break. Kali Yuga is also spreading. It is also trying to spread like wildfire. It is spreading every country and town and village. It is going all parts of the world, countries it has reached. It has reached every organization. It is reaching to all kind of religious institutions also. It is reaching to families. It is reaching everywhere. It is not sparing anybody. But we should have complete faith. Here how Bhishma Deva was, his only head was intact. And he was able to speak Dharma. This is also significant. Srila Prabhupada, he writes that the society is now in a very, very dangerous situation. Society has been pierced by the arrows of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is throwing arrows and killing the social body. Right? People are losing the culture and all the etiquettes and all. Dharma is vanquished. We can see that King Parikshit Maharaji was trying to protect Dharma in the form of a bull. Right? He will now, after Yudhishthir Maharaj, King Parikshit, and Dharma was standing only on one leg. He was having difficulty. So in this way, Kali Yuga is increasing. But Srila Prabhupada explains that if the head is intact, the head of the society is intact, then again Dharma will spread. And what is the head of the society? The Brahmanas. Brahmanas are the heads of the society, right? Brahminical culture. He wanted the Brahmanas to practice properly, speak about dharma, practice dharma, not just speak about dharma, but practice dharma, walk dharma, not just talk dharma, live by dharma, and leave the body while speaking dharma. So that kind of focus, that kind of direction Srila Prabhupada has given. And Srila Prabhupada told that this Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatita has that power. Although we may not get privilege like Bhishma Dev, but if we have faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll be able to perfect our lives. So therefore, in order to counteract the pandemic of Kali Yuga, we should take complete shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our hope. And we have seen so many personalities that acharyas have exemplified by their own example. So I have already gone much over time. So I would like to stop now. Anybody wants to ask, maybe personally, right? Not. It's already over. So thank you very much. Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.